Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on the count of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you will ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Now? Okay, thank you. We meditate this day on the words from the epistle lesson appointed for this Sunday. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." In the name of Jesus, amen. The gospel for this Sunday not only reveals the promise Jesus makes to all those who believe his redemptive work done in the flesh was for them, but also that he will ascend to the throne of the Father to intercede for them and to prepare a place for all who believe in him. Jesus reveals himself in the gospel words as the way, the truth, and the life for all mankind. And he bids you not to allow your hearts to be troubled. He implores you to have no fear. Fear and trouble were not in his creation, which the Father pronounced to be very good. Fear and troubled hearts came with sin, after sin. "I hid because I was afraid," Adam admits. Fear and troubled hearts today are a result of that sin that still infects God's created world. Since the fall, all humanity bears that DNA and the consequences of that original sin. separated from God and from one another. We have nothing in our future but this separation and death. This old nature clings even to those who by faith are reconnected to Jesus' life, his death offered up for the rescue of humanity from the wages of sin. It is for this reason, because sin still abounds, that the child of God must live on the Word of God. As newborn infants, Peter reminds, long for the sincere milk from their mother's breast that sustains them, so the child of God lives by the pure Word of God. To live on this Word of God is to be connected to the Father through the Son by the Spirit. In the midst of our lives filled with trouble, turmoil, despair, grief, suffering, and death, you are reminded of this day, of who you are and whose you are, and also, because of that, what you do. Peter tells us what you are. You are stones, he says. Stones by themselves can do nothing. They are dead and inanimate. This is what sin does to you. But Peter reminds that you are reconnected to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus is a living stone, Peter says, the cornerstone, the stone that was rejected by men, but in the sight of God the Father is precious, chosen, and holy. On this stone, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus builds his church. That stone is the confession that Peter made much earlier. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Kenya, where my wife and I have served for the last 4.5 years, there's a peculiar thing among the stone workers there. There are a pile of stones piled up, and they go over to those stones and they look and they select one. They take it over and they chip a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit more with their hammers. They walk over and it fits perfectly. Their eyes are that good, their hands that skilled. They chip and carve and shape that stone until it fits perfectly between those other selected stones. So Jesus, your cornerstone, I submit, does to you. He selects you when you were spiritually dead, like an inanimate stone, to be a part of his earthly temple, made not with hands, but called through his blood and fashioned by the Spirit of God to be his temple here on earth. We call it the church. You were lying dead in a pile of stones, but in the eye of Christ, you were seen to be the fit one for him, selected, chosen, shaped, and fitted for service in his temple. Peter expresses it this way: you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. How does this happen, you inquire? When God formed Adam, he did so out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into Adam the breath of life. Man becomes a part of God's creation. Because of that breath of God, man has a living soul. He is fashioned to reflect God's image, God's nature, and God still breathes life into the spiritually dead so that they may have life in him even today. Jesus is that stone rejected by the religious leaders of the Old Testament church, but chosen and precious by his Father. He is sent into the world in human flesh just like you, just like me. He keeps the law of his Father perfectly for you. He offers his life as ransom for you and the entire world. He suffers and dies for your sins and the sins of all. He rises from the grave and declares victory over the old evil foe of all men, over your old nemesis, Satan. Then he, with the Father, sends the Spirit to breathe life into dead hearts of stone. Life into your old sin-filled flesh. Now you, who once were not a people, are now a children of the Most High God. You who once had no mercy now live in the realm of the most merciful God. This is what you are. But there is more to life as you walk through this valley of the shadow of death. In your baptism, you were reconnected to God the Father through the life and blood of Jesus Christ. In that baptism, you were given a new name, the name of that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit pronounced over you. Into that name you were baptized. And Paul even adds more. You were not just baptized into his name, you were given a new sign, the sign of the cross, marking you as his child, one redeemed by Christ the crucified. And if you have died with Christ, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so you too will walk in newness of life. That is why Peter proclaims you to be a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are living stones made alive by the Son of God. You are a chosen race of the tribe of Christ. You are sons and daughters of the King, living the life of the baptized. You are a holy people, made holy each and every day, moment by moment, through the forgiveness of sins. And you are a people in his priesthood. It is this priesthood that determines what you do. First, you live as sons and daughters of the King in this priesthood of all believers, in this church of Christ. That is why he goes to prepare a place for you in his Father's house. And as you tarry in this earthly vale of tears, awaiting the glorious day of his return and the resurrection of your own flesh, you are appointed his priests, giving evidence of the lively hope within in you, what you are. Now, if you are thinking, you will probably want to inquire, what is it that priests do, if you are indeed called to be a priest? In the Old Covenant, priests did three things. First, they offered sacrifices for their own sin and the sins of the people. Second, they spoke to the people for God. They gave the people of God the word of God. And finally, they spoke to God for the people. And what is your sacrifice that you are to offer to God? Is it to reach deeper into your pocketbook and give more money? What kind of sacrifices are you to offer, and for what purpose are you a priest of God to offer them? Your Lord Jesus Christ offered up his life as ransom for the world. So also you who have been joined to him daily offer up your life as you die to sin and rise to newness of living. This means that your body, though it is still encumbered by sin, is the living sacrifice that is acceptable, holy, and precious to God. And Paul calls that your reasonable service. That is what you do. Dr. Luther refers to this as a life of repentance, as you daily exhale, breathe out sin through contrition and repentance, and daily inhale the forgiveness of sins that gives you life and connects you to him. Contrition and repentance, breathing in life through forgiveness and the mercy from Christ. This is your priestly sacrifice, your body, which becomes a living sacrifice. His hands, his feet, his tongue, his lips of service to the neighbor. The second thing priests do is priests speak to the people for God. Having this life with Christ in you, with words and deeds and hands and tongue, you give evidence of the living hope within you to the believing and unbelieving alike. This is not a mere PR effort or an evangelistic tactic, nor is it plain advertisement. This each one does according to the vocation God has placed upon you as you have opportunity. God's stones, built by Him into His church, do this daily in home and office, field and store, wherever your daily vocation takes you, as you give, as God gives you opportunity. The third thing priests do is they speak to God for the people. Because the unbelieving either cannot or will not pray for faith, as a member of the royal priesthood, you must intercede for the unbelieving friend, neighbor, relative, classmate, co-worker, or acquaintance. In praying for them, your voice is joined to the voice of the ascended Son of God, and the voice of the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us with sighs and groans too deep for words, as together the Son, the Spirit, and you intercede before the Father's throne, that more dead stones may be built up into His body. As Friedrich Grundtvig has penned in his hymn, "Built on the Rock the Church Must Stand," he says these things, I think it's stanza 3, "We are God's house of living stones, built up for His habitation. We through baptismal, or rather He through baptismal grace us owns, heirs of His wondrous salvation. Were we but two His name to tell, yet He would deign with us to dwell with all of His grace and His favor. Today He dwells with you and me from that altar. There resides that body and that blood given and shed for the remission of sins, your sins, my sins, the sins of the entire world, all because that is the purpose for which He came. That is what He does, for He is the stone rejected by the builders, but acceptable to His Father. He is God in the flesh for you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith in this Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and join in the Nicene Creed.